You're listening to The Point. The Cape Islands and South Coast are places families come together and back to year after year. Free from work, school, and other responsibilities, the time spent here can assume an almost magical quality. But family relationships can be complicated, and traumatic experiences can happen even in special places. Christina Clancy's debut novel explores the fracturing of a family after an incident one summer in Wellfleet. The book is titled Second Home. Christina Clancy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
To get us started, would you read the first two paragraphs from the prologue?
Absolutely. Anne had never been to Wellfleet in February. Each fall, her parents emptied the water heater, shut down the well pump, flushed antifreeze down the toilets, threw some sheets over the furniture, pulled down all the shades, and closed the house. Cape Cod felt like a hazy dream the rest of the year, a place suspended forever in beach days filled with sunshine and warmth. But there she was, alone and cold in a house that felt both familiar and now strange because it was the off-season and because her parents were gone, although she could feel them there. It was as if they were sitting behind mirrored glass during a focus group like the ones Anne participated in at work, watching and listening to everything Anne did and said. Even now, half a year after they died, she kept waiting for some magical door to swing open and for her parents to walk out from the other side of the glass to tell her they'd been watching her this whole time.
It's not giving too much away to say three siblings who have been estranged come together after the death of their parents to deal with the family house in Wellfleet. The main characters in the book are the siblings, Anne, Michael, and Poppy. Michael and Poppy have a strong attachment to the house, but Anne is ready to let it go. Would you introduce us to each of the three main characters and describe how their relationship with the house reflects aspects of their personalities?
Sure. Well, I think Anne is the oldest, and she's the sibling who's the most in charge. In fact, that her nickname, her dad calls her Anne with a plan. She's very practical, and she also has a personality where she likes to just kind of move forward in life. She's had a traumatic experience in Wellfleet and associates a lot of the trauma with the home. And I'm not sure I'd necessarily say she doesn't want to sell it, but I think she has this idea that selling it will help her get over her grief of losing her parents and also get over that thing that happened in the past. Poppy is much more nostalgic about the home. She's traveled all over the world, and still Wellfleet calls to her, which is a little bit the way I feel about Wellfleet, because every year, especially this time of year in June, I start listening for the birds that I would hear in Wellfleet and start imagining I'm smelling the salt air. So I kind of project that onto Poppy, who's much more of a free spirit surfer, and she has ambivalent feelings about settling. So she also represents, I think, that kind of wanderlust that many of us have, and the high price of wanderlust as you get older and you start thinking about what's next. And then Michael is the adopted child in the family, and he's had a really tough life. He was his parents had died, and he ended up staying with the Gordon family until they had decided to adopt him. And he's very nostalgic as the book goes on. He has not had a lot of good experiences, so the ones that he has had, he holds on to really tightly, and Wellfleet wedges away into his heart. And he wants more than anything to maintain some sort of connection to the house, even though that connection is quite fraught.
Now, the family is very close in the beginning of the book, but after events of one summer, it fractures. Anne is the only child who maintains a constant relationship with their parents. You write the book from the perspective of the three children in the months and years after that summer, but you don't give us the same insight into how the fracturing of the family impacts the parents. Why not?
You know, I think that maybe because I have siblings myself, you kind of have things happen in your family that get assimilated through the siblings, and everyone responds differently. And so I was very interested when I was writing the book on how the siblings thought about what had happened and how they felt about the house. And I also saw them as the next generation. I remember when my own grandparents died and the house that we owned in Wellfleet, in our family, it had been in our family since the 1890s, there was a question of whether we'd be able to maintain having the house until my aunt and uncle fortunately decided to keep it in the family. But for a while there, my mom was nervous about it. She said something interesting to me when she said, you know, after your parents die, it's really up to you and your siblings to decide how and if you can remain a family. And that stuck with me a lot. So I think the book is really an exploration of how do you maintain family ties? How do you decide to stay close or not, especially in families where people have become more estranged from each other? So I thought it was, that was kind of my intellectual curiosity, was what was happening with the siblings, more so than how the parents dealt with the events of that experience.
Now, without going into details, each of the three main characters grapples with difficult issues and events. Do you develop characters with traits that match the arc of the story, or do your characters and their personalities direct the arc of the story?
You know, that's such an interesting question, because I think both of those things happen, and maybe in different drafts. You know, earlier in the novel, when I was first working on it, I would have the I would decide how the characters were going to deal with each of the situations. And then as I got to know the characters better, and then I'd go deeper into drafts, and I was on draft two or draft three, suddenly the characters started talking to me, and they started telling me how the story was going to be told. And that's really where fun happens when you're a writer, because, you know, so much of writing is very difficult. It's very time consuming and hard and laborious. And when you get to that point in the novel where you feel like you really know the setting, you really know the place, you know the conflict, and you know the characters, and you're just kind of going through and pruning and cleaning it up, suddenly your characters will agitate for something different to happen, or they'll say something, and you'll literally, like, sometimes I'd sit back from my computer in shock and think, how could they do that? You know, so it was fun as I was working on it to see how the characters would sort of tell me what should happen with the story. And I don't want to give too much away, but there are several parts in the story, especially in the last third or so, where the characters surprised me a lot. And that was just some writing magic.
Yeah. So was there one character that was more difficult to write, or one that you felt most connected with?
You know, there's a character who is a villain in the story, and without saying too much, he does a really bad thing. And I had a hard time connecting with how a person like that would operate and how they would think. I mean, in a nice way, I guess it made me realize I'm not a manipulative, evil person to have that kind of struggle while I was writing him. But at the same time, it's also hard to kind of put your other characters in jeopardy. So I found him, it wasn't that I had a hard time tapping into him. I kind of could figure out what his essence was like. And I knew with that, I felt like if he walked into my house right now, or I walked into a restaurant, I'd know who that was. But I had a hard time just putting him on the page. The character that was probably the easiest for me to write, oddly enough, was Poppy. I think because I myself have wanderlust, and I'm a little jealous of her lifestyle and wonder what it would be like to travel all over the world. And so whenever I wrote her, I got to live vicariously through her. So I had a lot of fun writing Poppy's scene.
Now, you've said that the novel is a love letter to both the Cape and Milwaukee. So tell us about your connections to these places.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm from Milwaukee. Not originally. I'm actually originally from Denver, but we moved to Milwaukee when I was a kid. And I, we would go to Cape Cod every summer, and I always felt like it was kind of an odd pairing of places, you know, Milwaukee and Cape Cod. When we were in Cape Cod, I felt like nobody really knew what Milwaukee was. No one had any sort of point of reference aside from Laverne and Shirley back when I was a kid. And it was like that New Yorker cartoon where they said a New Yorker's view of the world. And it's just, you know, you have the East Coast and then Chicago sticking out and then the West Coast on the other side. So it felt kind of almost exotic to be from a place that was in flyover country in a lot of people's minds. But my grandparents had, as I said, they'd owned this house since the 1890s. It had been in our family. And so every summer, my mom would take us there for a couple of weeks, and it was always her vacation. She was a single parent, so my sisters and I just kind of disappeared into the background and ran around, you know, to the ponds and the beaches and explored the Cape while my mom relaxed. So we, you know, I think that's kind of a great way to develop a genuine love for a place, is to just be able to kind of roam it like free-range children.
Are aspects of you or your experiences on the Cape in the book? Are you writing yourself into some of this?
Yeah, definitely. I think particularly all the characters with their attachment to Wellfleet, that definitely is a feeling I have. It's funny because since the book has come out, a lot of people that I've talked to about the book have been questioning in a kind of serious way, like, what is a house? You know, is it really the house that the characters care about? And I feel defensive of that yes, like we can become intensely attached to houses and it's irrational, but we know every corner of those houses. We know how the dust gathers. We know where the light switches are, which stairs creak when we walk up to them. And the fact that that house is in a place like Wellfleet, where I feel like I know the smell of bark on the oak trees. I feel like I know what the sound of the waves crashing on the shore sounds like. There's something that just feels very elemental to my own associations with that place that I try to connect with in the book. So I think it's that kind of nostalgia that I associate with in the book that I care so much about and that I hope comes through.
It's hard not to think about our own families after reading the book. Are there particular themes around family that you hope readers will contemplate?
Yeah, I think that one thing that really strikes me is that it takes a lot of work to keep a family together. Somebody has to kind of actively take care of that. Something my grandparents told me, which I thought was really interesting, and I don't know if other listeners have had this experience, but they said that the youngest child has a different role than the middle child or the oldest child. And for example, they said, I'm a middle child. And they said, middle children are supposed to be the ones that keep the records, that keep the photo albums. And I never knew that when you pass generations, that like there are certain people in a family that are supposed to be in charge of keeping the memories of the family intact. So I think that when I was working on the book, I was trying to also think about how we maintain those memories.
Christina Clancy is the author of Second Home. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll post links with more information about her book, Second Home, at our website, capeandislands.org.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.